Good evening, this is WX2 PJR Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Paul. This net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Boonville Amateur Radio Club repeater, 146655 MHz. The repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boonville on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net, and all interested parties are welcome to check in. With or without traffic, emergency traffic has priority at all times and can break the net at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Over. Hearing none, are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? This is WX2 PJR Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. I will now take calls from regular members and guests.
KA2ZNZ, hi Paul.
KA2VLA.
KD2EIT, say. KD2EIT.
Alright, I got KA2ZNZ, KA2VLA, KD2EIT, and there was someone else that doubled with Jeff.
KD2DXJ.
There we go. That's what I thought it was, actually. Good evening, Bill. Anyways, let's go up to the top. K2ZNZ. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, good evening, Paul, everybody on board. Well, it was kind of a up and down day here today. We had quite a bit of rain, but not as much as some areas. All the snow was gone. Because we didn't really have that much on the ground, maybe 8 to 10 to start with, and that went pretty fast. And we had got up to about 52 today. Right now we're at 44. So that's about the deal down here. 7-3's all around. KA2ZNZ.
Yeah, alright there, Jack. Not too bad with that. Yeah, well, it's 45 out there right now. We ended up getting to about 50 today. And about 2.5 feet of snow is now about 3 inches of snow. It's gone. It went fast, and that the river out there is roaring. The Beaver River, that is. The Black is also quite high, at least on this end. But anyways, not too bad with that. Just can't believe how fast it went. We got it fast, and it left fast. So anyways, K2VLA, Jet, Clint, come on in.
KA2VLA, good evening, Paul. Well, we haven't got much to report other than the rain. It loosened up the ice. My driveway was covered with ice, and it's cleared today. Of course, I went out there with a shovel and helped remove it, so I didn't want anybody falling down. Creek down behind, between Irwin Street and West Street, got a big snow ice dam across it. So it'll be interesting to see how far the water spreads on it. It's old farmland, so it's not doing any damage. That's where we have our golf course, practice course. It'd be a poor day to hit golf town. Golf
balls down
there
today. Yes,
that's all the news, Paul.
I'm going to
say 73
and KA2VLA is
clear.
Right there, Glenn. Not too bad with that. This brings new meaning to water trap. It's all it is. Oh, well, hopefully it doesn't get too nasty, though. Yeah, those ice jams can be kind of rough. I guess there's one on the, Sandy Creek there on Route 81, that's kind of causing some problems. Haven't heard if it's let go yet or not, but it was beating up against the bridge, and if I recall, that's actually quite a big ravine down through there too, so that water is high. Anyways, yeah, second time in a row the 81's closed due to weather this week, so it's kind of crazy. Not seeing any ice jams here really yet, but that doesn't mean anything. It can just snap and jam up, and before too long you got
Good evening, this is KD2AIT. We're up here at CAP, where it has been raining pretty much all day. I'm glad to hear that Jack sounds good. Sounds like he's all recovered up there. Coming into the station, coming into the repeater, crystal clear, and the voice sounds good. So, congratulations on kicking that cold there, Jack. It's, it's been raining here all day, and I'm kind of worried. I snowmobiled in here yesterday, and I think I might have to leave the snowmobile here and walk out and to get back to the truck, and just I'll put the snowmobile up on some blocks of wood to keep the track off from freezing back to the ground, and come back up when there's snow on the ground to get it out. I mean, I'm going to take a walk out tomorrow morning and see. Right now, there's about maybe three or four inches of packed snow from where everybody's been coming in with the snowmobiles. If that holds up, then I'll snowmobile out. All I got to do is get to the snowbank, and then I'm good. But if not, then I'll just walk out and come back for another day and get the snowmobile. It was, like I said, it was raining today. We went outside. We moved the antenna out, the 10-meter antenna outside. And we did okay on 10 meters today. I think our furthest contact was the Canary Islands, and but most of it was pretty local to the states. A lot of Texas, out west there, we were targeting some stations out in the Utah. There was some, I was trying to get this one station in Paris, but apparently they couldn't hear me. I only have 25 watts coming out of this thing up here at camp, but I was really trying to get that Paris station, but it didn't happen. But anyway, kind of comfy night up here. We got the wood stove going barely. We throw a log in there about every hour or so, but it's 39 degrees up here, so we don't need a lot of it. That's about all there is to report. So WX2PJR, this is KD2AIT, back to that.
Sounds like you've been bit with the HF bug. Anyway, not too bad with that. Oh, now you think about 10 meters. That's not bad for 10 meters, though. Canary Islands, that's not bad. And you got 25 watts? That's impressive. So, yeah, not bad at all. Nice skip going on. And I guess some spots were in your favor today. But, yeah, not too shabby with that at all. Let's see here. Oh, I've had some contacts with guys on 20 in England and Germany and places like that with just 100 watts, which on a good night. So, it can be fun. I haven't really done a lot with 10. I mean, yesterday was the first time I actually heard something on it, so it tells you something, which is kind of sad, but it's just a band I haven't really been listening to because it really hasn't been that great lately. But it sounds like it's improving a lot. So have fun with that. It can be a blast. I know this for a fact. So thanks for the check-in there, Jeff, and have fun DXing on 10 meters, I guess. And let's see, KD2DXJ, Bill, come on in.
Good evening, Paul, and everyone else. Well, let's see, tonight, Meg's got to go to work here in a while, so I'm staying up a little later than usual, and so I thought I'd just check in. We're just sitting here watching some real intelligent programs here. Cheers, and now Cops is on, so going to do that. 42 degrees, and the wind is blowing real hard, so it looks like the weather's going to be changing. It's quite a mess here from the ice storm. There's quite a bit of ice yet, and it rained out all day, so if you walk out, you want to make sure you got some yak traps or something on like that. The driveways, the yards are still all ice, and it rained. The level of it's going down, but the ice is still there, so. And I let the furnace go out today and clean that, let the wood fire go out, clean the pipes, and put the creosote stuff in, and get that ready. Probably have to fire it back up tomorrow. So with that, everyone have a great evening. KD2DXJ.
Yeah, right there, Bill. As I look at my meter, and it's going up, and I can hear the trees swaying out there pretty good. So, yeah, it's getting breezy here as well. Must be the front's coming through now. Probably I'll check seems to snow a little bit later. See what happens. Only supposed to get about an inch or so, maybe. See what happens with that. But it may keep the rest from melting, so maybe Jeff can get out with his full head. Hard to say. Not too bad with all that. Yeah, it's a good day to, I guess, clean all that stuff. Wasn't overly cold. It was actually quite mild. I mean, after being 8 degrees the past week and colder, 50 felt almost like a tropical heat wave. Felt like wearing shorts almost. Hi. Anyway, thanks for the check-in there, and have a good one. Hear you around somewhere, I'm sure. And let's see, this is WX2DJR with the Black River Rally ServiceNet. Anyone else out there wishing to check in, please call up.
10-5 AOW.
AC2WI.
AC2MBU.
WB2RUQ.
KCTWI and KC2MBU. Head up to the top, 10-5 ALW. Come on in.
Good evening, Paul. Not much to report here. Been working a little bit of 40 and some 80 this afternoon, making some contacts, doing a little mic work on the Sumino rig. Had a little bit of a problem with that, but like everyone else, we're just waiting for it to dry up a little bit. About 40 degrees here, and most of the snow that was here is gone, so I guess we're going to have to wait for the next storm to come in or whatever may take place for us, but we're gradually running out of winter here. So back to you, Paul, and 5 AOW.
All right, thanks for the check-in there. Not too bad with that. 80 and 40 are my two favorite bands, actually. I was on those a little bit this morning, actually, so kind of fun there. Checked into two nets there in the morning on those two bands. So, anyways, thanks for the check-in there, and have a good one. And, it's gonna kind of dry out here a little bit as well. We got nailed with some good lake effect over the week, and now it's all melted off and going into the rivers, kind of flooding things out pretty good here. So, hopefully it'll cool back down and get a little bit more snow out there, so the snowmobilers can have some fun. Anyway, let's go to KC2WI. D, come on in.
KC2WI, let's see. Yeah, it's 43. High was 46. It's been about the same all day. Yeah, I just noticed that maybe half an hour ago or less, all of a sudden I heard this noise and I opened the door and yeah, big gust of wind. So evidently there is the front coming in. I really kind of hope it doesn't get too cold. It would be nice to go down to just about freezing, you know, maybe a degree below or something like that. Not enough to really freeze things up, but enough to stop any more melting, and then let all this water, I don't see how it's all going to ever drain off. That's even the worst part as far as conditions of snowmobile trails and in the woods and stuff. You know, you get so much water, everything gets flooded, trails get flooded. Guys like me who like to go boondocking off, the trails, you really have to be careful not to get in any kind of a low area. But you don't even have to be in a low area. All you have to do is hit one depression where there's water, you know, after there's a foot of snow, and that never freezes, and you get stuck in that. Boy, that's really bad. So that's the worst part of it. It's just all the water that is just, I don't think we'll ever go away this winter. It will never freeze up. We've got so much of it so many times. That was my observation on my long ride Thursday. I was actually kind of surprised. I went out and I rode a loop around from here up to the edge of Tug Hill, down into Lowellville, back around Lowellville and up to Croghan, and north, west, northeast, I guess, of Croghan. headed up on Hogsback Road, across the Black River at Devil's Hole, and up to Long Pond, and boy, you're riding along on some of those trails, and it's beautiful in the woods, and it looks like there's a lot of snow, but you're clanging on rocks, and you're getting to water spots, even though it was 0 degrees. Some trails were just gorgeous, and some of the roads that, you know, had a smooth surface underneath were beautiful, but then you get places that were more of a woods trail, and, you know, with rocks and stuff, and there just wasn't enough snow, and of course, it was wet spots. But, I'm really glad I did that, and then the only problem was I started a little late and I went a little too far, and so it was dark, and my headlights on my snowmobile are just, I don't remember them being this bad, but they were really low. And, you know, if I had just stopped and looked for a couple minutes, there's adjusting screws, and I probably could have fixed it, but it was kind of aggravating having to go about half as fast as I wanted to get back down to Branningham. It was kind of getting a little cold. So yesterday I went out and I rode up to down or whatever to Lyons Falls, and I filled the thing with gas and I had a slice of pizza at Barino's, and then I went up the hill to over the Lewis County Reforestation and over the Fowlerville and that. That was a nice ride. Interesting, I got across the Black River.
Yeah, they're being not too bad with that. Yeah, it's, what was it here? They've got some trails down there, in Dadville that are all pretty much just swamp right now. I wouldn't trust it at all. There's probably too much water underneath it anyways. Yeah, it's kinda rough at the moment. But late week or so, things kind of start to change back around, become more winter-like, so we'll see what happens there. I'm pretty sure it's a little bumpy at the moment, just hitting pretty much frozen ground and mud, so not so fun. Anyways, though, thanks for the check-in there, and let's see, I think it's KC2 MBU, come on in.
Good evening, we've got 41 degrees here. I think we've made it up to 49 today. Had a big crack of thunder this afternoon and just a torrential downpour for about 5 minutes. Yeah, same here, we're losing a lot of snow. Supposed to start cooling down next week. And they've got more snow in the forecast. Turn more like winter again. They're saying that the temperatures are going to be a lot closer to being normal for this time of year. Got some dinner at CUDA tonight. They're open again. They even have a breakfast, open for breakfast now, which is pretty neat. Love the mushrooms too there. Had a good time down there for dinner tonight. Took the boys. The girls went to Grandma's today. Over.
No, not too bad with that. Sounded pretty good. Yeah, actually earlier, what was it? Oh, I'm going to say about 4 o'clock, or not really 4 o'clock, I think it was early, 3:30 or so in Lowville, it rumbled once or twice as well. At least I thought it did. It could have been anything. No, I was at work and there's a lot of noise there and stuff, so very difficult to say. Yeah, it's been a very odd day. All of our snow is pretty much non-existent at this point. Kind of crazy. 2.5 feet gone in less than 24 hours. You only got it in about 24 hours, too, so I guess it's just as fast as it goes, or goes just as fast as it comes. Anyway, either way, anything else, Dad?
Yeah, we can't take a lot of this rain, and the ground is frozen, and so the water just comes right in. The basement's wet, the garage is wet, everything's wet. I mean, it's not real bad, but it's definitely usually get a wet basement in the wintertime.
No, I haven't been down cellar yet. I'm about ready to here in the next, probably, whenever that ends. Got to do laundry for tomorrow, but this morning I was down there, and there was some creek starting to flow through, but it's kind of built on a underground stream anyway, so they've got it kind of channeled out where it goes through, and then it drains out a pipe, so it's just kind of the way the house was done, but anyways, it's a lot more than it normally is, though. It's kind of crazy this time of year. Normally don't see it, but it has been an odd winter. And sometimes it wants to act like it's going to be a normal winter, and then the next minute it's like, no, it's going to be kind of ho-hum. But anyways, thanks for the check-in there, and have a good one. And let's see if there's anyone else out there for the Black River Valley Service Net. This is WX2PJR. Are there any comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time? Hearing none, I will close the Black River Valley Service Net and return the frequency to regular amateur use. Want to thank all eight for, eight check-ins, including myself, for checking in tonight. So, pretty good net. I think it's the biggest one I've had so far. So, with that, 7-3s. To all that listened in as well, and this is WX2PJR, I'll be clear.
KC2WI is KD2AIT.
KC2WI.
I thought you were going to be working today. I tried to give you a shout a couple times, but no answer.
I never turned on the radio. There's a couple things I kind of forgot about. I went to the Stumblebeal Club meeting this morning at 10, and then I just made it in to get a battery that I bought at Lions Falls to put in my other car. Then I went down to Bob J's with the swap cars, and we put the battery in and this and that. And then I came home and I got involved with this, that, and the other thing, and there's two or three things that totally slipped my mind. So I was here. I won't say I was doing the work I should have been doing completely, because I got sidetracked on things, but I never turned on. I think I turned on the, I think I had the 2-meter rigs on, but I don't know if I had them on scan or which frequency. I thought I put them both on scan, but I could have. Maybe I did.
Roger. I was going to see if we could do a 10-meter test, but I was hitting some stations. I had some pretty good success this morning. As a matter of fact, I worked it from about, 10:30 to 2:30 in there. I was working it, and having okay. I mean, it wasn't like that last time I had the rig up here, what was that, about a month and a half ago, around hunting season sometime, where it was just like every turn of the dial you were hitting a new station, but it was pretty good. There was some, there was a lot of,
You faded out there, and maybe you must have moved a little, or the wind blew or something. I heard that it was pretty good. Somebody was talking about the other day, we were talking about it should be good this weekend, I think. I never even thought to turn it on, and on the HF rig at all. My intention was to get working. Well, I ended up on a computer processing some pictures, which are not, was not work related. Some of my pictures I took from my ride, and to post them on a couple places, and one might be on my webcam page, I sort of got sidetracked on that a little bit, and then I started working on stuff, and then I had somebody call me, and I remoted in their computer in a sense. I just barely remembered to, I had the radio on, so I heard the net, but for some reason, maybe they weren't on scan. Tomorrow morning I'll be checking into the North Country group there on
75 meters in the morning, but I'm going to try to work, and if it snows and there's snow, I'm going to go out and, you know, if the snow's falling on top of the water and turned it into slush, it basically, that's a bad thing, but in a way, last time I did this, it was kind of good. It was a little work, but I was able to scoop it up like the snow acted like a sponge, and I was able to get a lot of the water off the driveway, out of the puddle, so that instead of having 2-3 inches of, you know, frozen ice slush, basically I kept it clean. So I guess I'll go and do that work again if the opportunity presents itself. It looks way too warm for that right now.
Roger. Well, the temperature's dropping here. It went from 41 there around before 9 o'clock there, about quarter of. It's 37 now, so I don't know if that means it'll stay that way, but up here at camp it gets a little cooler earlier anyway, up in the higher elevation. But I was doing okay. I think I got to get an amplifier up here for the 10 meters, so 25 watts, even when I'm hitting stations, even in the States, a lot of times I have to repeat myself several times, and I think maybe I'm just going to have to get a little more juice going through the antenna. But I had it set up inside at first. It wasn't working that good. I mean, I was hearing some stations, but I wasn't making any QSOs. Then I moved it outside and strung it up out here, not very high, maybe 5.5-6 feet off the ground, as high as I could get it, because I don't have a lot of feed line. And then everything changed. I was able to start hitting stations again. But I think I got to start going through WA2OK's equipment and see if he's got one in there. And if so, bring it up here for some fun.
AC2WA, I wouldn't bother with an amplifier. If you got a 10 dB amplifier, that would put you up to 250 watts. Well, that's only one S unit. You don't have a real accurate S meter on that thing, but that's only one S unit. It's not that much. And plus, now you're talking about 250 watts. That's about 30 or 40 amps peak draw. So you're going to be using a lot more power. Unless you happen to come across something cheap, you know, it's going to cost you. So what you really need to do is put the antenna up. You know, you would get way more improvement with a better antenna. You know, if you go to an amplifier and you get 1,000 watts, well, yeah, maybe, but the antenna is the key. So what you want to do is, I don't know exactly what you have there or how high it is, but get it higher. The simplest thing is higher is better. You know, 60 feet up in the trees or 40 feet up in the trees is going to be a huge improvement over 10 feet. That shouldn't be really too hard to do with some string and, you know, weights or slingshot, or I have that nice air cannon there, like, was KRQST, and Hanley's got one of those. I could shoot a line up 60 feet. You just don't make it real tight, so if the trees sway, you know, it will stay up. And then the other thing is really a much better feed line. Instead of, I don't know what you have, but if it's RG8, that's pretty lossy. RG58 is pretty lossy. You don't want RG8, that's too heavy. But 8X or LMR 200 or something like that is really going to be much more of an improvement than an amplifier. Or try, if you got just a dipole, try a vertical ground plane antenna. Still, height would help you, but you know it tends to be a lower angle of radiation, and you could make it would be a vertical quarter wave, and then at least three, I would say, radials the same length. And if you put, let's say, you put a self-supporting vertical piece of pipe or a CB whip antenna or from something that's, you know, that's rigid for your vertical, and you put that on a pipe that's, let's say, 8 or 9 feet thick, or, you know, cut the top of a little sapling off or something, and then you took three radials, and all they would have to be is three pieces of wire tied off to, you know, three other trees or, you know, sticks or something. I think that would give you a lot more improvement than all of the amplifier. That's going to, you know, use a lot of current and cost you a lot of money probably.
Well, right now I got a half wave I'm using as a horizontal. I mean, I don't have any problem going up higher as long, but I think I would have to orient it vertically. But I mean, I don't mind. I have a generator here, so I can run as much power as I need to the system. You know, at least to charge the batteries back up. I don't like to run it when I'm transmitting because it, you know, puts too much interference in on the signal. But it's, you know, it's something I want to tinker around with, you know, definitely, especially when you're up here on a rainy day and there's not much else to do.
Yeah, that's the whole fun of ham radio, but more power will help you, but really, optimizing the antenna system, what you get, in a way it may be more trouble, even though it's cheaper, but you'll get way more, advantage of that, whether it's just getting your dipole up higher. You could make it a vertical dipole as long as you could get the feed line to come off, you know, more or less sideways, and you can't be hanging right down next to the half of the dipole, it'll detune it. You could make a coaxial dipole, sleeve vertical dipole. Basically, you got the top part would be, let's say, a whip or a thin piece of pipe. The bottom part would be like a big piece of pipe, like a big enough to run the coax up through the center of it and feed in the center. There's some tricks to that, but that they make those. And you could buy those things too. Or, there's all kinds of possibilities. But I really think if you can, you know, if you can get the better antenna up higher, either a dipole up higher or a different antenna or something, you'll receive better and you'll transmit better, but you know, it's kind of not very much fun to do in the rain. So you know, there's all kinds of references online and stuff for various things, but basically a dipole, if it's horizontal, is the easiest thing to build, and a ground plane vertical or maybe a vertical dipole of some sort. You know, depending on what you got there to work with.
Well, I'm going to be getting Harry's tower up here this summer, so I have to go take it out of the ground there, and when that thing's all together, which I'm not even sure I'm going to put the whole thing together at 60 feet, I can go up in the air with that. It's a crank down. I mean, I'm definitely this year. In fact, I was just talking about with somebody thinking about actually mounting solar panels to the base of it, you know, with some struts, and just a couple of them for like another 200 watts of solar power, and then on top of that would go any antennas I'm going to put up there. So I do have some possibilities here for later in the season. Right now, though, I'm kind of restricted to what I got. There's not a lot of climbing and stuff you're going to be doing out here right now.
That's for sure. Wow, but if you have a couple of trees and they're, you know, suitably far apart, like more than 20 feet, you know, at the dipole's 9 feet on a side approximately, you know, a reasonable same height or, you know, branches up or something, then it would be easy enough to shoot a couple lines up there. I get my antenna up in Lake Pleasant is supported by two spruce trees, one on either side of the house. And it's up about 50 feet, and I just shot lines up there through with my air gun, my spud gun or whatever you want to call it. I call it my antenna launcher, no problem. And actually, now is the time to do it when there's no leaves on the tree. You know, winter might be better. And, you know, for that antenna, any clothesline would work, although I'd probably use something that's a little bit more durable and abrasion resistant. And then you just have to have enough, you know, long enough piece of fairly good quality feed line. So that's available in lots of, I would say that the extra length of, you know, another 30 or 40 feet, even of RG58, is worth the loss in the feed line to get the better performance of the antenna height. But I would go with at least 8X or one of the newer similar things. It may be a little more expensive per foot, but it's quite a bit less loss. And, you know, you can just order that from any one of the ham radio stores or I guess eBay. You got to be a little careful over the quality, but, you know, if I was going to do that for 10 meters, you know, get serious with a dipole, that's what I'd be doing. And, like I say, putting it up is nothing with the launcher. It takes you, you know, as long as, especially if you got, I'm trying to remember there how the trees are, but, you know, you sort of have a clearing, so if you can just get a couple, you know, around on the edge of the clearing, and then you gotta decide what you want to do. Are you going for, probably going for DX, so you want to probably try and orient the antenna so it's running, you know, north-south, so that you're shooting out east and west, maybe northeast and southwest, I would say, and that gets you Europe and, you know, the bulk of the U.S. That's the way, if you could do it that way, that's the way you'd run it. If you can't, you run it whatever way you can run it and hope for the best. But sort of a, you know, north-south or maybe slanted so that it's kind of pointing a little to the northeast, you know, the main lobe is off to the northeast-southwest instead of straight east-west. I think if you had something up 40 feet with good feed line, you'd see a world of difference.
Roger. Well, I'm working with some of WA20K's feed line he had left over. Unfortunately, he's got tons of it, but it's all carved up. You know, you got one end where you got your you got your end that you can twist into anything you want. The other end was cut off, you know, because whatever project he was doing, he didn't need that much length, so he cut it off there. And I don't have anything to crimp on new ends or anything like that. So good feed line. I don't know what she classified as. I don't, you know, but it's a thick feed line, and that's what I have here on the 10 meters now. I was able to piece together about 16 feet of it. I think once I get that tower up, the options will open themselves up a little bit. Plus, he's got some antennas there I haven't even gone through yet that have been, you know, just been sitting there. He didn't want to put them up anymore, that I got to go through and see what he's got. He may very well have a quarter wave antenna there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what he's got. I can't remember. It's been years since he showed me some of the stuff. Yeah, you know, maybe you can even get a little beam or make even a rotatable dipole. If, you know, just for 10 meters, we could make just basically a rotatable dipole, put a little, TV rotor, any little thing, and that would be dirt cheap to make and would work pretty good. Or actually, you know, if you wanted to take a little effort, you could actually make a little monoband beam and stick it up there. Anyway, I got a phone call. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Pete. Well, thanks for the information, and we'll catch up with you later. KC2WI, this is KD2AIT. Clear and on the side. Whoever that was, you had a lot of interference. I could barely... I thought I heard AIT there in the background, but you got some kind of interference going on. This is KD2AIT. Whoever that was, I haven't heard you come back, so I don't know if you changed anything or gave up. KD2AIT will be clearing on the side.